What about the psychosocial issues involved in managing a woman like this? Doesn't have either of the two markers that we can take advantage of with estrogen receptor or HER2 positivity, triple negative tumor. Can you talk a little bit about the usual kind of emotional reaction to the first diagnosis of metastatic disease and kind of how things evolve as the patients go through first, second, and third line therapy?
All in 30 seconds?
Yeah.
Well, you know, the news, of course, that a woman has when she experiences her first recurrence is quite devastating, and we should expect it to be. And it's, you know, I think we also need to realize it's not only devastating to the patient, it's devastating to the healthcare provider as well. I feel like I've left a pound of flesh in the clinic after I have that discussion with the usual patient. And I know that the nursing staff who've worked hard in delivering the patient's adjuvant therapy usually and typically have a long-term relationship with the patient are also devastated by it. I think that there are several things that are important to do when that happens in that setting. One is to be sure that adequate support is provided to the patient, that they have people they can talk to, that they know what the resources are in the community to support them psychologically and socially, that they're given hope, that this is not a situation where there's nothing that can be done or no options available. And to reassure them that, as we do when women approach adjuvant therapy, we reassure them, you can do this. I know you can do this. There have been other people who have done it. This is something that we can all work on and struggle with together.
I guess one of the things that's kind of hard to explain to a patient in this situation, they've already gone through usually adjuvant therapy, and so they've already endured one huge life stressor. How often does the issue come up of, did I choose the right treatment? Was my initial therapy correct, or should I have gotten more therapy? Does that come up?
It does come up. It doesn't come up all the time. I think that, you know, one of the things that I stress with women when they're making their adjuvant chemotherapy decisions initially is that there are different options in front of them. And for the woman at high risk for recurrence of disease, where adjuvant therapy is something we're going to really very strongly push, the options are different types of chemotherapy, but that that's truly their options. There isn't a right one, definitely, or a wrong one. And whatever they choose, they should never second guess it, because we'll never know whether or not there was a better choice among the options for them. And in the woman who has low risk for recurrence of disease, you know, whether to take chemotherapy or not, or hormonal therapy or not, again, is a situation where there are different options in front of the woman and not necessarily a right or wrong choice for everybody, a right or wrong choice for that individual woman. So I try to set them up from the very beginning that there are different options, that only time will tell us whether those options were effective or not in controlling their disease. But even if the disease returns, we will not know with any certainty whether or not it was the right or wrong choice.
What about as things move along, the decision to stop active anti-tumor therapy, whether it's hospice or continuing under your care, but just not receiving, for example, in this situation, chemotherapy? How do those discussions go?
Well, I think those are important discussions, and they're important discussions to have on an ongoing basis. And typically, my own practice pattern would be that in a woman who has substantial organ dysfunction, even in the first-line setting, I will talk to them about the option of palliative care or hospice care as opposed to active therapy. And then in the more typical patient who has, you know, minimal organ dysfunction or potentially no symptoms, when I get to the third line therapy, I typically, in that setting, would include in the options of therapy available to her, no active therapy, but supportive therapy. And so by the time we typically really get to the situation where supportive therapy is something that I would really strongly endorse, they've already heard the concept and they've had a discussion of it in small pieces, typically over a period of months or even sometimes a period of years. Let's go back to the nurses and issue of end-of-life discussion. One of the things that I worry a lot about in my clinic when patients are not doing well is not only the patient, but the staff, the clinic staff. And that includes me. It includes nurses, nursing assistants, front desk personnel, and so forth. And I think it's really important to remain sensitive to the needs and the stressors in the non-patients that are participating in patient care. And to remember and maintain an attitude that death is not always a failure. And in fact, in the oncology clinic, death, while it's unfortunate, is not usually a failure of the healthcare system. And to remember that death is a part of life, And death is actually what gives life meaning. And that we need to share our losses, we need to be open to our losses, but we need to remember that death is not always a failure.